Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. Now, prophets are not called when everything is going well. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet because God's people were headed in the wrong direction. And Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon were pressing in on them. All three were very powerful. The kingdom of Judah was not. And within Judah was Jerusalem, the city of God, the place where the temple was, the place where the Ark of the Covenant resided, that place where Israelites settled down after they escaped from Egypt and wandered in the desert for 40 years and entered the Promised Land. This is where they built the home for God. Jewish historian Jacob Isaac says of Jeremiah, "The great prophet Jeremiah lived during the most crucial period of Judah's existence as a kingdom. He saw the destruction of Jerusalem and the Holy Temple after he had incessantly warned his people to mend their ways before it was too late. And when the catastrophe finally overwhelmed his people, he was the one who bitterly lamented Israel's terrible fate. And at the same time, he helped his stricken people to bear the blow with courage and dignity and pointed out to them the path that would lead to restoration and redemption." In the passage that we read this morning, Jeremiah is remembering how God had called him to be a prophet and what his response was. Now, we don't know really what was going on in Jeremiah's life when God called him. We don't know how old he was. He said, "I was a young man or a child." We don't know what his responsibilities were. He was still living with his parents. We don't know what he was training for or what he was trained to do. But we do know that he did not feel equipped to be a prophet. "Ah, Lord," he said, "I don't know how to speak, and I'm just a kid. I'm too young for this." Jeremiah was called to warn God's people that they were headed for disaster, to live through that disaster, and then to encourage God's people and reassure them that God's justice was going to be done. So I can kind of understand how Jeremiah said at the outset, "I am not cut out for this. This is huge, God." Jeremiah's task was something like trying to turn a sailboat around on a dime. Can't do it. Now, those of you who were here last week know I've been researching sailing. I've been up to it again. To change direction when you're sailing, you perform a maneuver called tacking. I've been watching YouTube videos of sailboats on the water tacking. What you do is you turn the bow just a little bit, the front of the boat, so that the wind shifts from coming in the sail this way to coming in the sail on the other side. And of course, you have to keep adjusting little bit by little bit by little bit so that the boat turns, and you don't want it to turn too fast. I don't think, even after watching the videos, I have any idea what to do if I were to get on a sailboat in the water and try to turn it. That must have been how Jeremiah felt. How was he supposed to turn God's people around? Jeremiah was no public speaker, and he was just a young guy. He didn't think of himself as a great prophet. He was the son of Hilkiah, a priest. He was born in Anatoth. He was born like 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. He was a regular person, born and raised by good people in a little town. Who was going to listen to him anyway? Throughout Scripture, we see this pattern. God calls. We give our very best excuses why there's bound to be somebody better, and we are not the right person for the job. I mean, think about it. Abraham and Sarah were too old. Moses was tongue-tied. Isaiah wasn't holy. Mary wasn't married. Peter was a sinner. We all do it. We do it when we're asked to teach Sunday school. "I don't know enough about the Bible. I did that when my kids were young. I I'm too busy. We do it when we hear that there's an opportunity to serve at the soup kitchen or room in the inn. I wouldn't know what to say to those people. I've never known anybody as a friend who's homeless. I don't feel comfortable around homeless people. Every time we are called to serve, to speak up, to step out, to change direction, we offer our best excuses. God, let me share with you why I am not the best person for this job. Over and over again, we see this pattern. God calls, and we respond with all the reasons why God should really be calling somebody else. God responds to us. God responded to Jeremiah. I made no mistake in calling you. Before you were even born, I had purpose for your life. Don't offer excuses. Where I send you, you shall go, and I will go with you. Now, every now and then, somebody shares with me that they don't know what their calling in life is, or that they don't think that God has a call for their life. God has known you and had a purpose for your life since before God formed your mother's womb. And that calling is a part of who you are. Our calls are not to go and do exotic things that nobody's ever heard of before, for the most part. They're not to go and be something that we've never even known. But every one of us is called. Every one of us is called to live a life that makes a difference in the world, that makes the world more just, more peaceful, more loving. All I ask, says God, is that you are willing. And perhaps that is where changing the direction is the hardest. If I were to get out on a sailboat this afternoon after reading about tacking and jibbing or jibing and watching videos of people working those sails like a well-choreographed dance, I would be nervous at best and completely unwilling to go at first. I've seen it. That boom thing would swing around and hit me in the head. That boat could capsize. I don't need to be taking risks like that, right? Other people know how to sail. I can appreciate the beauty of a sailboat from the shoreline. I'll just watch. Y'all go ahead and go sailing, right? Just like that. I will never feel the wind in my head. I'll never hear the pop of that sail in the wind. I'll never experience the camaraderie of working together to steer that boat. I'll never know the joy of sailing. How is God calling you to make the world more just, more peaceful, more loving? Is it inside the church or in the community? Is it with children or with hungry or with refugees? Maybe it is equipping others for ministry by teaching, or by opening up the church on Sunday mornings for people to come. Maybe it's by ushering, welcoming people in this place. Or is it something else? Is there something that while I was reading my list had whispering around in your thoughts and it didn't make my list? I didn't say it. But that is your calling. What is keeping you from knowing the joy of sailing? May you know the exhilaration of changing direction and catching the wind of God's Spirit, your sails.